We begin the current daf in Sechdes Erev and daf Lamed Alpha. We begin on the bottom line of Lamed Amid Beis, where the Gemara continues discussing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that's mentioned in our Mishnah, regarding that he says, although you have to have your Erev in an area where you can get to it on Shabbos, a Kohen is allowed to put his Erev in the Beis HaKfaris, in the cemetery, where the obvious question was, how can you get there? And then he explained that you can go into an oil zarek, you can go into a box, and therefore there's a way feasible, hypothetically, that you can get into the Beis HaKfaris, so therefore you can get into the area, although Kohen cannot actually walk in the cemetery, he can get there somehow, and therefore that's where he could put his Erev on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues discussing this. The Gemara asks, "What the hod tan Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, this that we learn the Brayis Rabbi Yehuda says, which clarifies his opinion that said in our Mishnah, that, and we continue on the top of Lamed Aleph and Aleph. Arvin leKohen Tar, you can make it air for a pure Kohen, b'truma tahir with pure truma, b'kever in the cemetery." And as Rashi explains, definitely that would include that you can make it with chulin, with unconsecrated a type of produce, and that is because even if it becomes tamei chulin, it's still fit for the Kohen. But rather, the Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, even by Truma, where if it becomes Tameh, it's not fit for the Kohen, still there's a feasible way how to do it to actually put the Truma in the basic Varis, and it's not going to become Tameh, and that it, therefore it's fit for the Kohen that's Tahar, to eat that on Shabbos and to get to it, as the Gemara will explain momentarily. However, Rashi says that we Dafka picked a Tahar B'Tahar, in other words, a pure Kohen with pure Truma. But if it was impure to a truma, if it was truma that was tame, then it wouldn't be fit for the kohen, not for the kohen that's tame, and not for the kohen that's tar. No kohen is allowed to eat truma that became tame. So therefore, it cannot be talking about truma tame. And it also cannot be talking about a kohen that's tame with truma that's tar, because it's not fit for him, and that's because they're going in the opinion of sumchas, that it has to be fit for that kohen, even if it would be fit for another kohen, because it's truma that's tahira, it has to be that it's fit for this kohen, and therefore he has to be tar, and the truma has to be tar. But now the Gemara explores this. Hey Chiyazel, how does he actually get there into the basic verse, as we discussed in the previous daf? B'shei the table, make it, as we explained, in a carriage or in the box or in the closet. These are ways that he can actually get into the cemetery without becoming tamei, and therefore, he can be in the same area as his heir. To which the Gemara asks, okay, fine, we took care of that problem, but v'kiven de achta itamila. But once the truma goes down into the cemetery, it becomes tamei. In other words, fine. So you said you're using a kohen that's tar with truma that's tar, but if you're putting the truma in the cemetery, it is going to become tamei by the basic far. So although you found the case for Rabbi Yehuda that even in the cemetery there's a way for him to get there, and definitely there's not going to be a problem when it's just an individual grave because he can stand there. However, by the truma itself, once you put it down there, it becomes tamei when it hovers over the kever. It becomes tamei from the tumas of ayil, and the truma will become tamei. And that the Gemara gives two answers. Either b'shalai hochshura, that we did not ever make it susceptible to tumah because produce does not become susceptible to tumah unless it becomes in contact with one of the seven types of liquids that's designated. And therefore, this never got wet, so therefore it's not susceptible to tumah. Or the Gemara says, oh, you shouldn't need loisha b'mei peres, or it was kneaded with fruit juices, although it was in contact with liquid, but it's not one of the seven liquids that's machshir something for tumah, and therefore that's not a problem. You can have truma in the basic varas without becoming tumah. But then the Gemara asks, but fine, so we took care of how he gets there. We took care of how the truma itself stays there. But how does he take it to eat it? Because Rabbi Yehuda needs that the kohen should be able to eat it, as that's, we're going in the opinion of Simchas, that he has to be able to consume it, and therefore a Yisrael, for example, cannot make it with truma because he cannot have enough and he can't eat it. And from the fact, how do we know this? From the fact that he said in the Braisa that it has to be a kohen tahar with truma tahira. And he did not permit it with a kohen that's tameh, with truma that's tahira, because in that case it would be fit for others, that he didn't hold that's good enough. He held like simchas that it has to be fit for this kohen himself. Another raya is from the fact that it says in our Mishnah that lochu tzvalachal, that he has to be able to get there somehow by interposing, and then he said the words to be able to eat it. Now the question is, how can he actually get to eat it? In other words, once he reaches his hands out of his safety box, literally he's in the box, because that's not how he's not going to get the tumma, and the truma is not going to become tumma because it is not susceptible to tumma yet, but how does he actually reach out and get it? His hand, once he reaches out over over to get out of the box, he's going to become tumma from the basic vars. On that, the Gemara answers, b'pshut dekli eit. We're talking about flat wooden utensils, the loy mekabu tumma, which are not susceptible to tumma. And that's what he uses to reach out. He doesn't go out of the box. He pushes out this type of a utensil that's flat, which is wooden. That does not become tummy. That's how he gets and brings in the truma from in the cemetery into his box. However, Rashi explains that if it was something that is makabel tummy, that wouldn't work, because then the kli would become tummy's mess. which is an Ava Tumah. And then that would, because that becomes Tumah from the Tumah of oil, because if it hovers over the grave, then that would be Matamah of the person, and then he would be Tumah and he'd be forbidden to eat the Truma that's Taira, because he get a Chiv Misa if you're Tumah and you eat Truma. So therefore, the way you do it, again, is if you have this Pshut Dekliyetz, that you stick out to use and to manipulate to get the Truma inside the box, that's how you can do it hypothetically. So since there is a feasible way, it's considered kosher Erev. But then the Gemara asks, V'hokam Mayel? But even if it's Pshut Dekliyetz, but it's hovering over, it's an oil over the basic forest. As Rashi explains, the Gemara thinks right now that we're talking about a utensil that has an opening of a tefach, or even in its circumference a tefach, which we make a gzera on the person that carries it, if it has the thickness of a mardea, which is a goad, in Masechtas Shabbos, and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and Perek Yetzias Shabbos, that we say that it is, although generally Pshut Dekliyetz is not Mekabel Tumah, but the person that's holding it, if that item that it's holding has a tefach, and that's hovering over the mess, that the person carrying it becomes tummy. So therefore, here the person that's manipulating this tool should become tummy. Now the Gemara answers, the Maisi La'achure, which others are garish, achude. And that is, it holds it on its point. We're talking about a vessel that the point is not a tefach, and therefore it's not considered oil in any manner that we said that even for that it has to have at least a circumference of tefach. Here where it's being held on the point, and that point is what's being used to manipulate the thing inside. Since it doesn't have even a circumference of a tefach, it will not convey tumah to the person that's carrying it. So now the Gemara says, fine, you validated, you miyashiv the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But then, if that's the case, the way you just described it, so what's the pshat in the opinion of the Rabbanan who are going to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah? And that is regarding an individual grave. That is, although we understand in the Mishnah why they argue on the Beis HaKvaras in the cemetery, that why it won't be good, because they don't hold that a chatzitza will be considered if it's oil zarek. In other words, if something that's a moving, here the box, although it's a tent, and the only way it could be chaitzis between the person and the tumah is if it's oil, they hold oil zarek laoshmi oil. Since it's moving, we don't consider oil, and therefore it's not chaitzis, and the person becomes tumah if he's hovering over the cemetery. But here, when it's an individual grave, where you could stand on the edge and bring it to you, why do they argue if it's the way you just described it, that there's a way to use pshut dekliyetz that's less than a tefach, then you can go ahead and bring it, and the truma will not become tameh because it wasn't hochshe yet, and you could bring it to the kohen that's tahar. Why would they argue regarding an individual grave that you can't make your eruv over there? And that the Gemara answers for a different reason. It's a different problem, even if you're not going to have the halachas of tumah, but kesavri asur liknis bayis bisuri hano. They hold that it's forbidden to acquire a house, an area that would be considered your house, with isuri hano, which things which are forbidden to have enough from, which in other words it means regarding the kever, the grave, that the grave is something that's called isuri hano, you're not have hano from a mess. And here you're having hano because it allows you through the eruv to go out of your tchum another 2,000 namas. And the utilization of anything regarding a corpse is asabano, as the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Adav Mem Zayin and Beis learns. It says in the pasuk about Tamash and Miriam, that Miriam died over there. And we learn the word sham from the word sham by Egla Arufa. And just like Egla Arufa, there's Yisur HaNoah, also a corpse. Everything that's regarding a corpse is also HaNoah. So therefore, here you can't have HaNoah. And Rashi explains that in principle, really, this would apply even by a Yisrael, by a non-Kayin, that Rabban would say it's Aser for him to make his Erev by an individual grave, nothing to do with a Kayin. And this that they said that a Kayin is not allowed to make his Erev in the by a Kever, that was just to tell you in the reverse, the Chiddush and the Koyach of Rabbi Yehuda, that even there, in the basic forest, even for a Kayin, it's going to be mutter, as we explained, because there's a feasible way, hypothetically, how it can get there. But the Rabban who argue, they hold it not because Allah is of Tumah, they hold because you cannot have a Na from Isuri HaNa, which here you're having a Na by having the Erev on the grave. That's where your house is now. You can't have a Na from that because that allows you to go further, and that's why it's Asr. Which the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Mechalad Rabbi Yehuda Savah Mutter, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that you're allowed to have a Na from Isuri HaNa? How could that be? So therefore, how is he allowed to make your bias, your halachic Shabbos residence on the grave? Now the Gemara answers, "Ksavim mitzvahs lav lahanas nitnu." He holds that commandments were not given for pleasure, and you were only allowed to make an heir for dvar mitzvah. In other words, if you want to go to a base oval, to a mourner, or to a base amishtah, to a Shabbos shever brach, as a chasna, whatever it is, as the Gemara will later explain. Since it's for Dvar Mitzvah, that's not considered having a Noah. So therefore, you're allowed to go ahead and make your Shabbos residence over there because I'm not having pleasure. I'm doing a Mitzvah. That's the only way you're allowed to make an Erev anyway. To which the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that's what they're arguing about. Elohad Amar Rabbah said in this that Rabbah said in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Chesam and Alf that you're allowed to blow a shofar with an oila, although an oila is forbidden to have enough from because mitzvahs love lahanis nitnu, that commandments are not given for pleasure. This that I'm using a shofar to be mekayim my mitzvah, I'm blowing a shofar, that's not considered I'm having enough from it. Therefore, I could use a shofar of an oila. So let me ketanoya Amar Lishmaita. Let's say that his statement is totally in a machloekes tanoim, because as you said over here, that Rabbanan the hold that it's usher to make your bias on the grave. Even though it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, they hold mitzvahs are lahanis nitnu, not like Rava. And it's only Rabbi Huda who holds that you're allowed to, because he holds like Rava, that mitzvahs love lahanis nitnu. So I'm like Rava, Rava tell you no. No one argues on my principle. Isvir lahuda ema arvin el Dvar Mitzvah, if it's as you had made the assumption that you can only make an area for Dvar Mitzvah, the kuliyama mitzvahs love lahanis nitnu, everyone would agree that mitzvahs were not given for pleasure, and therefore you would be allowed to make your dira, your bias, your halachic Shabbos residence on the grave. But here what they're arguing is as follows. Marsa Rabbi Yehuda held, Eima Arvin al Dvar Mitzvah. You are only allowed to make an Erev, as we had mentioned before, only for Dvar Mitzvah, to go to base Oval, the base Mishnah, and therefore, again, that's why it's muta, because Mitzvah lav lahanis nitnu, so there's no problem, it's only for Dvar Mitzvah. However, Marsa Rabbi Rabbana hold, Ma Arvin afil Dvar Shos. You're allowed to make an Erev even for something that's a Rishos, a non-Mitzvah purpose, a non-Mitzvah mission, and therefore it is considered Hana, and therefore since it's an Isser, it's a Bayis Shal Isser, you're not allowed to have Hana from because it's a grave, therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and make an Erev on the grave because of Tumah L'Dvar Rishos. And that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, what they're arguing about, Elohad Amar Rabbi Yosef is in this, that Rabbi Yosef says in Perikets and Mishtatvin later on, Daf Pei Bezim at Aleph, did aim at Arvin El Dvar Mitzvah, that no, you're only allowed to make an Erev, only for a mitzvah purpose. You're not making an Erev, I want to go 2,000 amas further because I want to be able to walk there or something benign like that. Let's say he's saying something that's telling machlokes is tanaim. Because as we just explained before in the name of Rava, that this is exactly what they're arguing about, Rabbi Huda and Rabbanan, if you're allowed to make an Erev for Dvar Harishus or not. And that Omelech Rabbi Yosef would tell you no. The Kuli Alme, Ein Ma'arvin El Dvar Mitzvah, everyone agrees to my principle, you're only allowed to make an Erev for a mitzvah purpose. And everyone agrees to Rabbah too. The Kuli Alme Mitzvah is Lav Lahan, isn't it? No. So then, what are they arguing about? This is what they're arguing about. Ma'asav Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kiv Nekonu Le'Erev, that once you already made the acquisition of the Erev, which is Ben Hashmashas, by the period of twilight, which that defines where your halachic residence is for that Shabbos. So Le'Nich Le'Dimitra, then you don't care about for it to be to protect it anymore. That's what it did, what it accomplished. I don't care what happens to it. And therefore, you're not going to be having any Hanah from that, because once it's already in the Erev, I don't care what happens to it, and already halachically you did what you had to do. I don't care if it gets ruined. And until it's acquired as an Erev, it's also not considered a Isra of Hanah, because that's not Hanah, because it's for a mitzvah purpose, because again, everyone agrees to my principle, the mitzvah lav lahanis nitnu. However, Marsav and Rabbanan who say that it's Asr to make an Erev on top of the grave, is because Nichalei Dimitra, because they would prefer for it to be protected, the meals that are there, because I don't want it to be wasted. I could use it to have lunch or supper with it. The Yitzrach Ochalei, because if I want, I'm going to eat it. And that's why, according to Rabbanan, it does pertain the concept of Isur HaNoah to it, because even once the Erev is made, that there's no more element of Dvar Mitzvah, there's still somewhat of a Rishus here that I want to have this food to be eaten. And since there's that problem of Isur HaNoah, you're not allowed to keep your food over there, because again, then you're making your bias and you're containing your food in the area of Isur HaNoah, which is on top of a grave, anything pertaining to Mess. And that's why they hold, you're not allowed to make an Erev on top of the cemetery. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing with the topic about the properties that are necessary for the food items that are used as an Erev, what is necessary. So the Mishnah begins. Ma'arvin b'dmai. You're allowed to make an Erev with d'mai. That's a loaf of bread that was taken from an ignorant person, the Am Haaretz. And generally when you buy produce from Am Haaretz, since they're suspect that maybe they did not take off the necessary trumas from it, you have to go take off the necessary tithes. And the halacha is that this person did not take off d'mai from that. Still, you're allowed to make an erev with that d'mai. Similarly, with ma'aserishin shenit l'truma, so you're allowed to make an erev with ma'aserishin that's given to the levi that had his truma taken off from that. That is, the levi has to give trumas ma'aser. He has to give part of what he has to the kohen. So that he already did what he had to, you're allowed to make an erev out of that. And regarding Meister Sheni and Hektish, which were redeemed already, and now they were deconsecrated, you can use that as an Erev. And similarly, a Kohen can use Chala, which is given to the Kohen as a Matana, one of the Chavdal Matanas, he can go ahead and use that as an Erev. However, then the Mishnah says, however, avaloi betevel. Then it says all the things you cannot use, which are the contrast of those from the Reisha. But you can't use tevel, which were untithed produce. You can't use the Maiserishin, which was given to the Levi that he didn't take off yet, the Truma that he has to take from his produce that was given to him as a gift to the Kohen. And also you can't use the second Maiser, which is brought up to Yerushalayim, and Hekdesh that weren't redeemed yet, that although that you could redeem them, but since now it wasn't redeemed, it's not fit to be used, therefore you cannot make an Erev out of these items. So now the Gemara discusses all these items that we're telling you, Chiddush, that you could use them, and the safe of all those things that we're saying you can't use them, it seems to be pashut by all of them, which the Gemara discusses. The Gemara has demai, that demai is something you can make an erev out of it. Holei chazlev, it's not fit for the person. How can you say you make an erev out of demai? Again, that's something you have to take off. The Chacham made a gezer of demai, that you have to take off the necessary trumas that are taken off from it. So how can you make an erev when you don't do that? And that the Gemara says, because migadi boi mafkalu lenichsei, that since, if he would want to, he can go ahead and declare ownless all his properties. If I have an onion, then he's going to be poor. V'chazi land, therefore, it's going to be fit for him. Sashin na mechazi, so if it's considered, at least hypothetically fit for him, because there's a way that I can go ahead and get to it, that by declaring all my property ownless, and therefore it's considered fit, and you can make an error about it. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah Demai, that machil nesanim demai, that we feed the poor people demai, that they're allowed to eat it, and therefore since I could become hypothetically an ani, therefore it's considered fit for me. All right, continue on to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues, and says, v'achsanoi demai, and similarly, regarding achsanoi, which are the soldiers of a Jewish king, that it's incumbent upon all the people of the city to feed them, and halachically they're considered like anim, like poor people, because they're not in their location of where they live, and therefore they have nothing of their own. So therefore, we're allowed to feed them demai. Again, that's the principle that since hypothetically I could become an ani, and an ani is permitted to have demai, that the chum did not make the gzera on demai, since anyways most amaratzim really do take off the necessary trumas and maisers. So therefore, since I could become that, it's going to be mutter to make an erev out of that. The Gemara comments, I'm Rav Huna, Tan will learn the braisa, that b'shama imrim ein machil nesanim demai, that you're not allowed to feed poor people demai. However, you are allowed to feed anim demai, which elsewhere the Rishonim say that the purpose of saying this is to explain that if you find elsewhere that it says you're not allowed to feed the poor people demai, don't be concerned with that, because that's the opinion of Bishamah and Bisham Makam Basil, Lav Mishnahi, and therefore the halacha falls like Basil, that again you do feed anim demai, and again since I could hypothetically become an ani, I'm allowed to make an erev out of demai. The next item mentioned in the Mishnah was Uba Maisarishan Shanat Lobhulu, that regarding Maisarishan, that Truma was taken off of it. Tosh Gemara asks, Pshita, it's obvious. What do you mean? That's regular Maiserishin. It's not anything that's forbidden to be eaten. It's a matana that the Levi gets, and he took over what was necessary, his chiyuvim of giving truma, a trumas Maiser of his Maiser to the kohen. So what's wrong with that? And that the Gemara says, Lo Yitzricha, we needed to tell you a chiddush. Shegdimu b'shabalm, that the Levi took his Maiserishin in the ears of the produce before the truma gedayla was given to the kohen. And that is v'not lemen trumas Maiser, v'loy not lemen truma gedayla. That he had taken off Trumas Meiser, which again, when the Levi gets his Meiserishin, the one thing he has to take off is Trumas Meiser, which means he gives Truma from his Meiser to the Kohen, but it was never had the Truma Gedayla, which was supposed to be before he takes Meiserishin, that was never taken off from it. And that is Minat Torah, the Truma comes before Meiser, because the Torah calls Truma Rachis, and that's the first one. And from the leftover, from what was given to the Kohen, then you take a tenth of that, which is called Meiserishin, that's given to the Levi. But now, the Levi did subterfuge, and he went to take his Maiserishin, a tenth of the produce, before the Kohen got his Truma. And that is because he doesn't want to lose out 1/50th of the produce that's given usually as Truma to the Kohen, that his Maiser will have 1/10th, his 1/10th will have less, 1/50th. And although there was no Truma Gedolah taken off from this, but as long as Trumas Maiser was, that's why something that's fit, you can make an Erev out of it, like a Rav Avoh said, Nimer Rish Lakish. Dam Rav Avoh Rish Lakish. Maiserishin Shekdima B'Shabam. If Levi went and took his Maiserishin in the ears before the Truma that was supposed to be first, which was 1/50th, was taken off, he went and took his 10th before that. Patim Truma Gedolah, although it's wrong, he's exempt from Truma Gedolah. He doesn't have to take off now, besides his Trumas Maiser, Truma Gedolah. Shnei, like it says, a Pasuk in Sefer B'Midbar. That the Levi should go ahead and take off a truma for Hashem to give to the Kohen. Meiser mina meiser, it says a tenth of his tenth, meaning from the tenth that he got, he should take off now and give to the Kohen. So the drasha is, meiser mina meiser, matelach. I only told you to take off a meiser from your meiser. Which means to say, in such a case, when you did not take off truma gedayla beforehand, although you did wrong, but you don't have to go ahead now and take that off. To which Amalei Rav Papa said to Abaya, Ihachi, if that's what the Pasuk is telling you, such a drasha, that you only have to take off Trumas Meiser from the Meiser, and not Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Meiser from the Meiser. So why do you say only if he goes and beats the coin to it when it's in the ears of the grain? Afilik Dimoy, even if he went at a later point in time, that he went before the coin, Bikri Nami, even when it's already in the pile, when the grain is already threshed and it's smoothed out in the pile, even there you should say that if the Levi went first, not only in the earlier stage of the ears, that you only have to take off, now that you did wrong, only Maisim and the Maisim, not Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisim and the Maisim. So Amalei, so Abaye responded to him, Olecha Makor, regarding you is what the Pasuk means when it says a different Pasuk, and it says, Mikol Masro Yisechem, from all your Maisim, this is a Pasuk that's referencing to the Levi, Terima es kol Trumas Hashem, you have to take off all the Trumas of Hashem, which means even Truma Gedoyla. And that's why that other pasuk is referring to when there was a later point of the kri, that then no, you have to take off Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisa. To which the Gemara asked, Marisa, where do you see from the psukim that you're going to say the pasuk that says you're chayiv to take off Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisa? That's when you beat him by the later stage of when it's already smoothed into a pile. And the pasuk that says you pater that says only Maisa na Maisa, that was when you went before the kohen when it's still b'shibalim in the ears. How do you know? Maybe it's the other way around. And that the Gemara says no, because hi, this one that you went and went before him when it was already in the pile, in the kri, when it was smoothed out, idgan, it already became dagan. That is, since it already has the halachic term of dagan, of grain, because it's already the grain that's already threshed out, so then it becomes tevel for truma, as the pasuk in the Devarim Yud-Ches calls it, reishis dagan. When does the chiv really chal? When it's the first of your grain, of dagan. So therefore, then it already has the chiv, and then we say, no, that then even if you take it off, halachically we view it as if you have his truma gedoyla in your maisa. V'hai, but when it's by the shibalim, when it's just in the ears, loy idgin, then it never yet became dagan, because it's still in the ears. So therefore, when the levi goes and he beats the kohen beforehand, it really never had the halachic status of tevel, for it to be untied, that it didn't have the truma taken off it. And therefore, if you beat him to it over there, so early in the stages, then you don't have to take off Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maisa Min HaMaisa, only Maisa Min HaMaisa. And therefore, this was the Chiddush that our Mishnah had to tell you, that this person, this Levi, only took off Trumas Maisa and not Truma Gedoyla. And that is, although generally you have to take off Truma Gedoyla, but since he went and beat him Shekdim B'Shibalim, that is the Chiddush our Mishnah had to tell you, that although you're missing part of the Trumas in Truma Gedoyla, still, if you only have to take off Maisa Min HaMaisa, and that you did, you took off Trumas Maisa, and therefore your Levi could go ahead and make an Erev out of this Meiser that had Trumas Meiser taken from it, even though Truma Gedoyla was not taken from it. The next item in the Mishnah said, Uba Meiser Sheni v'Hekdesh HaNefter. Similarly, you can make an Erev out of Meiser Sheni, which is produce that on the years that are not Meiser, only taken off from it, that you have to eat in Yerushalayim. And but however, people couldn't take all the produce, so you redeem it, and then you take up that money to Yerushalayim, and you spend that over there on food items. And it was redeemed already, this produce, so it's deconsecrated. And regarding Hekdesh also, that was also redeemed, that you can go ahead now, it was deconsecrated elsewhere, you can go ahead and use it for an Erev. It's obvious. What's wrong? It has no special properties, like regular food, and therefore you should be able to make an Erev out of it. Torah Sikimar answers, Loit Tzricha. That regarding these things, when you redeem them, then not only do you have to pay the principal of what they're worth, you have to add on another fifth. And we're talking about that the person redeemed the principal, but he did not add on the fifth yet. That is the chiddush that we're saying, that the fifth, it does not hold back, that it's not going to be deconsecrated. It is, but you have an obligation of a fifth, and therefore, since it is already deconsecrated, you can go ahead and make an eighth out of it, although you still have the obligation of the fifth. Then the Mishnah went to say the inverse case. But however, you cannot make an Erev with produce that was untithed, that you didn't give off the chiyuvim of Trumas and Maisas, that you now make an Erev out of it. So the Gemara is Peshitta. Obviously, no one is, it's usher to have any achila out of Tevel. You can't use it for what it's necessary for, so of course it can't be an Erev. And then the Gemara answers, Loi tzricha betevel tavel midrabbanan. We're talking that it was only Tevel midrabbanan. What type of case is that? When you planted it in a pot that did not have any hole, it's not perforated, and therefore, since midiraisa, it really is not something that grew from the ground, and therefore you don't have the chiyuv and betruvus of maisis, you would think that since midiraisa, it's considered fit for the person, although midrabbanan it's not, that it's considered halachically a kosher erev, that's the chiddush that even though only midrabbanan it's tevel, still that would withhold the person because ultimately, although in a technical aspect, minatari, you can't go ahead and eat it, but since you can't, it's not considered a kosher erev, and that was the chiddush. Then the next item the Mishnah discussed was v'loy b'maiserishin shloy nitzel trumasai. And similarly, you now take maiserishin that the truma that which was not taken off of it. And as Rashi explains, now the Gemara thinks that obviously what's the reference to? What does Meiser have its chiv of Truma to be taken off of it? That's a reference to Truma's Meiser, that is the Levi has to give now a tenth from his tenth to the Kohen. And therefore the Gemara asks, Pshita, it's obvious. What do you mean? It's a tevel in some sense to the Levi that although he has his Meiser Rishon, it's not considered usable yet until he takes over the Truma's Meiser and he didn't give it, so of course he can't make an Erev out of it. And then the Gemara answers, Loi Tzvicha. Shegdima Bekri, we're talking about that he went before the Kohen in the pile of grain when it was smoothed out already. And that is, the Truma that we're saying over here, that he did not give the Truma, is a reference to Truma Gedayla, which is generally fit for the Kohen to be taken off before he gets his Meiser. And when we said that he did not take off from his Meiser Truma, it's a reference to Truma Gedayla, not Truma's Meiser. As the Gemara explains, not the Truma's Meiser, not the Truma Gedayla. He took of his Truma's Meiser. He did whatever he has to generally do with his Meiser Rishon to give the tenth of that to the Kohen. But he did not take of Truma Gedayla. And Mao the Tema, I would have thought to say Kedama Le Rapabah La Ba'ai, like Rapabah said Ba'ai earlier, as we just explained, that would be mutter even if he went at a later stage in the game. And when it was already in the kreen, the smoothed out pile of grain, that then he went before the Kohen. That is what the pasuk would also mean when it says the Meiser na Meiser, that you still would not have to give to the Kohen his Truma Gedayla and only Truma's Meiser, which in this case the Levi gave already the Truma's Meiser to the Kohen. He just didn't give the Truma Gedayla. Kamash Malon, Kiddushonli, that's what we have to tell you this Kiddush. Like Abai responded to him that no, for you that's what the other pasuk says, that Mikom Asay Seichem Truma is called Truma's Hashem. That pasuk says if you only went a later stage in the game when it's already considered Dagon, then it's not going to be considered kosher and usable for you unless you take up Truma Gedayla and Truma's Meiser. And that's what we mean over here, that not that he took off, that he didn't take off Truma's Meiser, that would be poshut, is that he took off Truma's Meiser, but he didn't take off Truma Gedayla. And the Chiddush is, like a buyer responded to Rav Papa, that in that case, you are Mechoyev to take off Truma Gedayla, and that's why it's not fit for an heir. The next item the Mishnah spoke about was Veloy b'Meiser Shein v'Hekdesh Shalei Niftar. And similarly regarding Meiser Shein and Hekdesh that was not redeemed, you can't make an Erev out of it. It's obvious. You can't use it. It's considered consecrated. And you can't use Hekdesh and Meiser Shein that was not redeemed. And therefore, it, of course, it's not going to be a kosher Erev. And that the Gemara answers Loy Tzricha. Shepadon, they were redeemed. However, Veloy Padon Kilchasen, they were not properly, with their specific halachas, redeemed. As the Gemara explains. Meiser shepod al gavasim. We're talking about the meiser that was redeemed, but is redeemed on a asimon, which is a coin without a figure, without a tzura. And on that, Rahman Amar, the Torah says specifically regarding when you're redeeming meiser, it says v'tzarta hakesav. You should wrap the money, which the Gemara darshins is kesav shira yeshalav tzura. The word tzarta not only means wrap, but also has the word tzura. It has to be a coin that has an image, and therefore if you use a asimon, although you actually did redeem it, but since halachically it's not a good redemption, that is the chiddush we wanted to tell you, that although you redeemed it, it's not good, and therefore you can't make an error out of it. And similarly, Hekdesh, we're talking about a case, shechililu al gav karka, that you redeemed it, you deconsecrated it, but you deconsecrated it onto a piece of land, onto property. Drachmano Omar, but the Torah tells you regarding when you want to deconsecrate Hekdesh, items that were given to the Beis HaMikdash, says, v'nasin ha-kesef, you should give the money, v'kamlay, and then the Hekdesh item will be his. On that it says, when someone is makdish, his field, it says that he will add on a fifth of kesef erkecha, and it says that he will give the money. It has to be something that can be given, and land cannot be given. It's not a portable item. It's not metoltal, and that's the chiddush that say, although you deconsecrated the hekdesh, however, it wasn't done properly, and therefore, it won't be kosher for an erev. That was the chiddush in the case of the meiser and of the hekdesh. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again, continuing about this inyan, about an erev, what's a kosher erev for the halachas of tchumen. So the Mishnah says, Hashaleich Eruva Biyat Cheresh, if someone sends his Erev, that is, you have to send it to the area of 2,000 Amas, he sends his care package of two meals, 2,000 Amas, which is the end of his regular Tchum, to say, oh, that's where my Shabbos is going to be, so I can go 2,000 Amas past that. If he sends it with a deaf mute, or a Shaita, someone that doesn't have his total capacity of his brains, the Katan and a minor, Oy Biyad Misha Ein Amayt Be'Erev, or in a someone's hand that doesn't agree to the halachic principles of Erev, which the Gemara will explain, that's a reference to a Kuti. In the Erev, it's not a kosher Erev. It has to be someone that can actually make the acquisition of the Erev. However, Vim Amma La'ach L'Kav L'Men, if he tells somebody else, he calls on the phone and says, look, I'm sending you this with this child to go ahead and make the Erev over there. Harez Erev, that's going to be a kosher Erev because it's not the child that's doing it, it's the person that gets it. He's going to make the Erev. So the Gemara asks, on one of the first cases that we said it's not a good Erev, but cotton loy, is it true that a cotton is not kosher to make the Erev Tchumen for you? But Va'am Rav Huna says, cotton goyves the Erev, the child could go and collect the Erev, that is regarding a Ruvach HaTzeris, that every person has to go ahead and chip in for their part of the meal and put it in one person's house, as if everyone is living and having their dira in that person's house, so it's owned by one person, we view it as one big reshus hayachid. So the child could go out and collect it, and he can make the erev for everybody and go and put it to the house. He takes the box of matzahs, and it makes the erev chatzeres. So there you see a child could make an erev. Nothing more is loy kasha. Because Khan, our mission is told ma beiruvit tchumen. Khan, the halacha of Rav Huna, that a cotton is good, is beiruv chatzeres, that's told my rubi of chatzeres. And that is, a rubi chatzeres is when they join their rishusim, their domains, it that happens by itself. And that is, even though the action of a child is nothing, it's moot in halacha, but it doesn't bother us, as the mission later on, Daf Ayin Alf Amar Alf, says that a balabayas, a homeowner that's partner with his neighbor, he doesn't have to make the erev because, again, it's something that happens by itself. He doesn't have to make an action, his own acquisition. And therefore, the child could go collect it and put it over there. It just happens by default. It's not his action that's acquiring the Rebbe Chatzeres. But Rebbe Tchumen, that's an acquisition of Shvisa, of halachically making your residence. And a cotton is not strong enough in halacha to make an acquisition. That's why, although for Rebbe Chatzeres it will work a child, but not for Rebbe Tchumen. Then the Mishnah said that another person that it won't help to make an erev with is Oibiyad Misha in Maid Be'erev, or someone that does not agree to the principles of erev, he cannot make an erev with Tchumen for you. So the Gemara asks, man, who is this person? And Avchizda Kutai, it's a reference to the Kuthians that although somewhat they have some type of halachic properties in, according to some opinion as Jews, but since they don't agree to the principles of erev, then it won't work for him to make an erev for you. Then the Mishnah continued and said, Vim Amala Achul Kable Menu. If you then told somebody else to go ahead, before the child gets there, to go ahead and accept it from that child, or the cheresh, or the shaita, or whoever it is, and make the erev for you. And then the Mishnah said, Hareza erev, that's going to be a kosher erev. That the Gemara asks, V'leichish dimolei mamtilei, but we should be concerned that maybe the child is never going to get there, and to bring it to that person that was supposed to make the erev for you. It's like, how could you go ahead and rely on the child, or the cheresh, or the shaita, that they'll get there, and that person that you told to do it for you, that maybe you won't have a kosher erev? And that the Gemara says, "Kelim Rav Chizda." Rav Chizda said elsewhere, "Ba'im Nivrei." We're talking about a place where you stood and you watched. You watched for the 2,000 amas until the child got to the person that you wanted. He said, "Oh, he got there. Fine. I know that that person is going to make the air for me." Hachanami Ba'im Nivrei. Here we're also talking about where the person was standing and he saw. He waited till he saw that the child got there to the person that was supposed to make the air for him. But then the Gemara asks a different question. But maybe the person's not going to take it from the child. In other words, maybe he won't make the erev, although he said, oh, he called him on the phone, there's erev shabbos, yeah, just send over your kid, I'm going to make the erev for you. Maybe he didn't make it. How do you know that he made it for you? And that the Gemara answers, Kedam Rav Yechiel, like a different Amara said, that elsewhere, that chazaka shliach oisa shlichusa. There is a chazaka that we have, that we could rely on, that a messenger does his mission. And therefore, here also we rely that since I made him my shlich, I called him up on the phone, I said, look, I need you to do me a favor, make this erev, I'm sending over my child. There's a chazaka where you can rely upon that he went ahead and he made the shlichis and that he made the erev. Now the Gemara asks regarding these two statements, where do we find these two statements of these amaroam regarding A, that the person stood there and watched, and so you're not concerned that the child ever got there, and B, regarding that the person that actually got it actually made the erev, that chazaka shlicha isa mishlichusay, the Gemara says, ahoy, it was said on the following braisa, the Tanlik learned the braisa, if he gave his erev, he put on the 2 mils worth on an elephant, and he sent him to the place, or he put on a monkey, and he sent the monkey to the place. And that is, monkeys and elephants a lot of times are trained for these things that they can be sent on missions. Ain't the Erev, that's not a kosher Erev, because an elephant or a monkey, although he can be trained to drop it off where you train him to do it, it's not halachically an Erev, because he has to actually make the kinyan, the shliach. And obviously an elephant and a monkey cannot make a kinyan for you. However, if you told somebody else, look, I'm sending my monkey, my trained monkey, my trained elephant, and when they get to you, I want you to make an Erev, how is an Erev, that's a kosher Erev. To which the Gemara asks these two questions. Maybe the elephant or the monkey never got there. And that the Gemara says, Amrav Chizda. But this is where his statement was said, that the person stood there and he watched his monkey or his elephant get there, and therefore he knew that that's not a problem. But then the other question was, maybe the person that actually got it from the monkey or the elephant, maybe he never really took it from him, that is, he never went to go fulfill his mission, the one who was there, to go ahead and make the erev with that. And that Amar Vechil, this was the statement of Vechil was said, the chazaka shliach eis shlichusa. That there's a chazaka we can rely upon, that the messenger does his mission, and therefore since I made him my shliach, I can rely on that criteria. So those are these two ideas that A, I am not concerned the child never got there because I watched till he got there, and also I'm not concerned that the one who I asked to do it didn't do it because there is a chazaka, I can rely on my shliach that he did what I asked him to do.